Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey there, folks. Before we start today's episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast, I'd just like to remind you guys that you can check out my daily sports column. It's free by going to sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. You can just check out my Twitter to find the link there. Go check out chasethomaspodcast.com. There's a link on that page. But yeah, go check it out every day. New sports story in your email inbox. Yeah, go tell a friend, share it out, send it to anyone else you think would like the newsletter. But yes, every single day, go to sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. Just Google Sports Renaissance Man, Chase Thomas, whatever you're most comfortable with, go do that. If you are an Apple Podcast listener, don't forget to leave this show a 5-star rating and a review. It's important to help the show continue to grow. And last thing, very quickly, but please email me at chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com to get your mailbag question in, or any other questions that you might have about the show, about the column, anything like that. New mailbag columns go up every Friday. If you have any questions for the weekly shows that you would like us to answer on air, whether it's John Taylor on Wednesdays, Evan Swords on Mondays, the sports reporters on Fridays, make sure to get those questions in and we'll read them on the show, or I'll answer your questions in the mailbag on the newsletter. So go do that. Again, that's chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com. Leave the show a 5-star rating and review. Follow on Apple Podcasts if you can. I think that's it. All right, Uncle Darren, let's go.
Sports reporters assemble!
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, you heard it. The sports reporters, they have indeed assembled without my parents involved, as much as the Daily Beast's Bob Silverman may have liked, who is here in New York City. Bob, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Parents, I don't think you want that, because I think my dad would have ended up just commandeering the podcast, and it would have been the Bob Thomas Podcast featuring a bunch of other people.
And your point?
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, I don't know why you're hating that, Chase.
I'm not hating it.
How many like Simmons relatives get to go on his pod? It's not like there isn't a precedent here.
That is true. I don't feel like his dad's been on it in a long time, though, right? Am I misremembering?
Not in a while. I don't know. I haven't really been listening, but I mean, his dad was a feature of columns and pods and all kinds of things.
Oh, are y'all talking about Bill Simmons?
Yes.
Yeah, fuck that dude.
Oh.
Chase, I think Andrew has a point he would like to make for the group.
I was going
to
say, Andrew just coming out guns blazing today.
I do not like Bill Simmons. Like, I legitimately do not like that dude. Like, he is a part of one of the reasons why sports media is so, like, for all the good that he has done in sports media and his, you know, almost 20 years of being, like, you know, nationally relevant, he has done just as much damage to the culture of sports media. And yeah, not a fan.
That's a take, folks. That is officially a take.
Mm.
You're welcome.
I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't ready for guns blazing to start off this podcast.
Oh, dude, I have so many. Like, I am very, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get a chance to see the sheet because I didn't know what time we would be recording. But I guarantee you, I will be very, yeah.
Mm. Well, I think we should start with the NBA Finals. Pivotal game 5 tonight, recording this Friday afternoon. Bucks have bounced back in just kind of really surprising fashion, winning the next two games at home to even the series. Chris Paul not going to the free throw line in game 4. Bob, what do you make of where we're at right now in the finals, and where are you leaning at this point?
I thought having a nice throwback Chris Paul chokes in a big situation game was fun. That was kind of cool, just to reminisce a little bit. Boy, did he look miserable. I didn't see that coming. He has been so dominant throughout these entire playoffs, and really, he's had such a monster year. He looked either disinterested or exhausted or something, but that was a bad, bad game, and yet it was still, you know, it still came down to the last handful of possessions. I still think the Suns are going to win, but we got to see an all-time play from Giannis, so that was extremely cool. I don't know. I'm still a little peeved at all of the weird WWE ref shenanigans that went on down the stretch of Game 4. For all the people who believe that the NBA is rigged, and I don't believe it. I really don't. But a lot of people do. That game certainly looks like the kind of officiating you would get if you had an investment in stretching this out to 7 games to make up, say, for the lost revenue at 25% full arenas over the course of the last calendar year.
Oh, conspiratorial. Bob Silverman has entered the chat.
No, I'm not. I'm just asking questions. I'm saying I do not believe in a conspiracy or that there was a call placed to the referees by Adam Silver specifically instructing them to maybe toss this one to the Bucks and maybe keep the series going to 6 games at a minimum. I'm not saying that because that's a conspiracy.
But why keep Devin Booker in?
It was really weird. Yeah, that's the point. Like, if they wanted to. Well, of course, Andrew, the reason is because they can't make it look too obvious. So they had to throw him a phone.
Yeah, so this, I probably would not be a full-fledged member of NBA Twitter because I think parts of the NBA need to be fixed massively. And yeah, I don't think NBA Twitter would like what I'm about to say, but I tweeted it and people agreed and some people didn't like it. Get rid of the NBA refs. Just go to FIBA refs because
they're generally better. I mean, it's surprising.
If you've watched any of Team USA basketball, which is, it's an experience.
They just added JaVale McGee today. JaVale McGee is on Team USA, and someone quoted.
Look, I got off a joke like everybody else. I wrote meme team. It's a good joke. I think I'm happy with it.
I like to call them the I mean team. Like, I mean, I think they're gonna, you know, win.
Well, JaVale has long since progressed from being a punchline. He is he's better than Kevin Love. Full stop. That's right now for these games. Yes.
And here's the thing with the officiating in Olympic basketball and international basketball, they're trying to get away with stuff that NBA refs, and I've also said this, get younger refs. Because some of these guys, like, they're basically overwhelming these old dudes and these middle-aged dudes. You need younger guys that can get up and down the floor. I still say add a fourth official and you limit replay. If you can't get it right in a minute to 90 seconds or a minute 20 seconds, then you know, go with the call on the floor. Operate in real time. Don't slow it down. Use your naked eye because that's the judgment call that you made. The issue with these officials is players are so used to manipulating, you know, calls and plays and all that. It's kind of like soccer. And even, you know, recently, soccer has gotten better just, you know, not calling it, or it's got to be blatant. If you saw Copa America the last few weeks, you would understand. So the NBA, and we say this every year, it feels like, but they seriously need to take a look at how they're operating as officials. And they do this every year, but the issue is nothing changes. They'll change a rule or two, but in terms of how officiating is done, the philosophy behind officiating, it's completely wrecked parts of the game, and you're killing the flow of the game, and now you guys are a punchline. Like, officials are supposed to be a punchline anyway, but they're operating like an even bigger punchline.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm enjoying this struggle. It's more interesting when USA in, like, it's, I have the exact opposite relationship I have with USA soccer, where, like, I want to see them thrive and do well, and I'm very invested in their just them being good. The opposite is true with Team USA basketball, where I'm like, oh man, I remember, like, Allen Iverson's my favorite basketball player of all time. Like, I remember all of that so clearly, that time in Greece so clearly, that, like, I kind of long for it, of just like the not comeuppance, but just kind of like, oh, the absurdity of Team USA basketball struggling, and also Pop getting really feisty when asked about, like, why they're not blowing teams out. Like, is it hard to just kind of reconsider? Like, him pushing back on that was really weird, because it's like, well, no, you can't change that. That was how things were going, and now it's suddenly not how things are going. The protocol stuff's weird. I don't really understand how any of that is working with Beal, because didn't Beal, am I misremembering stuff with Beal from months ago with Tatum? I thought that was a COVID thing too. I don't understand what's going on there, but so he's pulled. And then the icing on the cake is Damian Lillard talking with Chris Haynes, and now it looks like a trade is a distinct possibility for Damian Lillard.
Let me tell you what I'm going to be doing for the next month. Every time some rando scoop merchant tweets out a rumor about Dame in the Knicks, I'm going to believe it 100% and also think it's made up nonsense. Mm. I can hold these contrary positions in my mind at the same time. I'm fine with that. It's going to be a thing. I guess everyone is... It's going to be a wild month. I really enjoyed Henry Abbott breaking the news that he requested the trade. If you saw that on his
Truth. Oh yeah, and Nurkic basically saying no, it's not true, it's not true. Why do players feel free to chime in on Twitter screenshots and hey, you remember when you said that tweet exists?
Don't tweet, guys. Never tweet. That's the rule. Just don't do it.
Well, another good example is what we saw this week with Haskins and Sherman. Like, as those stories are playing out in real time, people are, like, backtracking, or they're like, what's going on here? And then you're just like, oh, my God, these people, this is, log off.
I'm very excited to see where Dame ends up. And I know it probably won't be the Knicks, but I'm okay with that. But I'm very excited to see him play. The Blazers need to blow it up and hit reset. They've had whatever it's been now, 8 years with Dame. Nine? When was he drafted? 2012?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. People forget the pick for Dame Lillard was acquired from the Nets in exchange for Gerald Wallace.
Mm.
Bob, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So I feel like the Knicks are in a Carmelo Anthony 2.0 situation where you have a young nucleus that is showing signs, and frankly, you could save a little more money and get a bigger free agent instead of just kind of pilfering
instead of gutting the roster right now in exchange for the one star who's finally going to put New York over the top, and instead having the roster be, you know, like Julius Randle, Dame, and you know, Jonah Hill, and wearing a Phoenix Suns uniform.
Yeah, because I look at this and I'm just like, I get why you would, but Portland, like Neil Oshie, despite some of,
I don't think he should be the one to make that trade. He's not going to be the one making that trade. He can't be at this point.
I got you. But I'm just saying that a guy like Neil Oshie, whether he's making the trade or somebody else is making the trade, basically what I'm saying is Portland's not a dumb franchise. Like they're not dumb.
They failed to build around Lillard. And, you know, mainly because, you know, they got a lot of stuff right on the margins. You know, grabbing Nurkic from Denver, developing Gary Trent, you know, trading for, Norman Powell last year. They did a lot of things right. It just, they were playing in a stacked Western Conference for the last 6 years, and they never really took a swing for the fences. But, or there wasn't really much of an opportunity to anyway. So, but it's time to blow it up. No, I don't think they're dumb, and I don't think they're going to sell him for. It entirely depends on if it's an open market and they can trade him anywhere they want. Portland absolutely could get a haul that could beat, say, New York or even Philly, or if Simmons is the centerpiece, they could do that. I don't think it is an open market. I think Dame is going to say, "Here are a list of 2 to 3 teams that you can trade me to." And it's not going to be like Oklahoma City and its never-ending stockpile of draft picks. So
yeah, it's not going to be. I think for a guy of his caliber, you could, for how loyal he stood for you, you could at least give him the benefit of first priority for two to five teams. And if you can't make a deal, be like, hey, we can't make a deal with these teams for this reason or whatever, and help him, like, have him aid you in, you know, making a trade. Like, that actually happens in the league.
There are a lot of reasons to do that. One, not just, you know, because of loyalty to their franchise player, that's a part of it, but it's also because when and if there is another star in Portland, they're going to see how Lillard was treated on his way out the door, and that will play a determinative value of whether or not another four player wants to play in Portland. So, you know, there are, and also you can't say trade him to even, you know, an up and coming team like New Orleans.
Wait, why are they up and coming? New Orleans is not up and coming. New Orleans is swirling the drain.
Is New Orleans up and coming? Because last time I checked, there's a possibility Lonzo Ball might be going back to L.A.
A
team that has a talent up and down the roster but isn't good. How about that?
I still don't think that's the Pelicans, but
they got Zion and Brandon Ingram.
They do.
They're also starting Eric Bledsoe and Lonzo for the next 2 years. Two years to a year and a half. They're basically renting Zion at this point.
Fine. Let's go with Oklahoma City, which is a well-run team also.
No, they're not. No. I am so... I'm not allowing the Oklahoma City stuff. They are... Like, Sam Presti, what he is doing, like, it's way more offensive to me than the process. Like, what is happening there of just the fleecing and taking on the bad veteran contract for a first-round pick and then just keeping this going for the next 10 years because you can't just sign all these draft picks and they're just going to keep doing this little cycle, and then they're the scrappy underdogs because... they still have SGA to make it less bad.
All right, I hate it so much.
The Oklahoma City Thunder are just going under the radar right now, and I think part of it is because they're in OKC and not Philadelphia, but what Sam Presti is doing sucks.
Okay, so here's my thing.
I get why you need a whole, oh yeah, Sam Presti's doing this, Sam Presti's doing that. He could easily put himself in a situation that he was in 11 years ago. Want to know what that situation is?
Compile some talent.
You got to.
Well, you're underselling it. You're underselling what he did. He drafted three Hall of Famers. Like, that is insane to do that in that time span. Like, that just to have that kind of lottery luck and that draft luck, because it's still a crapshoot. The idea that he's going to pull that off twice. What NBA GM ever has done that?
Please, before we finish where Neil Olshey and Sam Presti are in the pantheon, my point being is that Damian Lillard is not, like, no team is going to trade for Damian Lillard if there's even a percentage chance he is going to sulk his way through the season until they can reroute him to another contender.
True.
So it's not going to happen. So that's why Damian Lillard gets to set the market here. And if the market is, nobody has any idea what it will be at this point, but clearly I assume Damian Lillard has some teams that he'd like to play for. My best guess is that it's going to be something like the Clippers, the Lakers, the Sixers, and possibly the Knicks.
There's another team I think that would put their hat into the ring. I don't know how successful it would be. Golden State.
Golden State.
Who are you trading in that scenario? Who's getting moved?
You're trading Wiseman. You're trading Wiggins' contract.
Oh, yeah. Wiggins. Yeah, you're sending that Wiggins contract, like, expediently.
Yeah, but why is Portland doing that?
They get Wiseman and they get two.
Wiseman might stink.
And however, that's the Golden State offer. The offer from Golden State is Wiseman, anyone on the roster who's not Steph, Clay, or Draymond.
Yeah.
And the two picks this year and however many picks they want in the years to come.
And the reason why I'm saying Golden State probably throws their hat in the ring is because you're going to have Phoenix, who's chilling for a while, and the Lakers and Clippers. I think the Lakers more than the Clippers are still, like, you know.
Yeah, the question
everybody's
is
healthy.
The only question.
Yeah, but you have to keep up with the Joneses in that Pacific.
Well, the Clippers
division
are screwed. Kawhi's out next year. Like, reports on his knee? Like, so, Kawhi's not playing regular season basketball next year.
They're talking about February at the best.
Yeah, and it's Kawhi. Yeah. Like, he's not playing until the playoffs next year. Like, he's gone.
Not well. The fact that you're getting to the playoffs is nice.
I mean, the question you have to ask with Golden State is, yeah, they could put together a try. There are people who like Wiseman. I'm not that impressed, but he was the number two overall pick last year and did show signs. So he's not a nothing asset. But does Damian Lillard want to be at most the second fiddle on Golden State?
And I'm not saying that Golden State pulls this off. I'm saying in terms of just competitive and keeping up with the Joneses, I don't think Golden State does it. One, because Portland's going to ask for a lot. And
They absolutely will throw their hat in. I mean, there are problems with having your guards and wings be Dame, Steph, and Clay. Asking a lot defensively of Clay Thompson after he's missed a year.
And I also look at it as, because Portland is going to want some first round picks.
They're going to want all of them. They're going to want the James Harden package. They're going to want all the picks you can get.
It's not 2015 to 2019 Golden State where you can get away with that, because you're going to be picking late in the draft, so it feels like a throwaway pick anyway. I'm not saying that you don't become a finals contender and you don't get back to that, but around 2025, 2027, you're probably going to need that.
Yeah, the bill is going to come due, but you do it every single time because you're going to get Dame Lillard. Look,
no one
who's trading for him is going to sweat those picks.
I get it. I'm talking in terms – I get why Golden State would do it. But that return on investment, like, you're – if you can find a way to get some picks, absolutely. Like, I'm all for that. I would have a little trepidation about – I mean, I think you still pull off because it's Dame freaking Lillard. But you do have to understand that, if we want – if we want picks, in the last – first round picks in the last half of the decade – We might have to sacrifice a little something. But yeah, you're going to have to scrounge up some picks somewhere because you do not want basically a reverse Boston Celtics where instead of compiling a bunch of picks and not having them, you don't have any picks at all. And you're basically sitting around, like somebody, asking for you're basically panhandling for a first-round pick, and everybody's looking at you like, no.
But we're looking over the obvious one, which is the Sixers. Like, it's the Simmons-Lillard swap. Like, that's the best, all the picks in
that. Same thing that they pulled up that they wouldn't deal for Harden.
Yes.
And honestly, Damian Lillard is not a better player than James Harden, but you would rather have Damian Lillard.
And that swings the East. Like, I think, like, if we get something like that,
does it really swing the East? I'm not trying to be condescending.
I think if your nucleus is a healthy Joel Embiid and Damian Lillard, yeah, you're better than Milwaukee was this year.
Yes, you're really only competing against Brooklyn's health. And
I get that. I think that I get Dame adds veteran leadership in there. You still need another vet.
I'm not saying that Dame. They have guys.
Okay. So here's
Matisse Thybulle looks good. Like, they have dudes.
I'm talking about vets. Like, you need a guy who has been there alongside Dame Lillard. Because if you look at
you can find
the Suns just went to the finals with zero finals experience. Like, no one on that roster.
Outside of Jay Crowder. I'm talking about a guy. If I can get it out. I'm talking about a guy who can go in there and kick people's asses. Because if you look at that series with the Atlanta-Philadelphia series, Doc Rivers said something very, very thoughtful. And everybody was thinking, oh, Doc Rivers is, he doesn't even care. No, Doc Rivers basically said, I hope they're up for this game. In other words, if you understand coach speaking – and hear enough coaches, it's basically like it's not on me for them to get up for this game. It's on them. Like, somebody in that locker room has to become a leader. It sure as hell wasn't Joel Embiid. It sure as hell wasn't Ben Simmons. Yeah, if you bring in Dame Lillard, that's great. But you need another ass kicker in there. You need somebody that's going to sit there.
You can get those guys.
If you bring in Dame Lillard, that's great, but you need more veteran leadership. And of course, you can get that through a free agent or whatever. But I'm not ready to hand the East over to Philly when we handed it over to them last year or at the beginning of this year.
I did not do any handing. Who's we?
I'm not saying you. I'm saying, at the beginning of this year, it was basically editorial.
Look, Philly was a couple of missed jumpers away from knocking off Milwaukee. That series could easily have gone a different way.
I mean, they should have, like, if that bounce with Kawhi doesn't happen, they win the title that year. Like, that group with Butler, they're winning the title with that group.
I don't know. Well, by
Philly's
the way,
close.
Getting rid of Jimmy Butler was a great idea.
Well, they didn't have a choice there. He wanted to leave.
Yeah, I mean,
don't mess with Jimmy.
What do y'all make of
Atlanta? Mm-hmm. I forgot that Philly played Atlanta.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, part of me understands, like, I get it, Philly, but at the same time, it's just like, you guys had them dead to rights, and you guys didn't do anything with it. But no, I generally feel bad for Ben Simmons, though, but at the same time, you need somebody, because I think...
That can be game.
You're putting way too much emphasis on this veteran. Like, I think the harder part is significant. The harder part is finding Damian Lillard.
Lowered everyone in Phoenix. Chris Paul went into Phoenix and, you know, did his Chris Paul glowering thing, and now they're in the finals. I feel like Dame can be that guy in Philly.
Right. And so it's like, why ship him out when the next team, because everybody sees it. Everybody sees that, yeah, he just needs somebody to go in. Like, because Shaq basically said he needs somebody that's going to go in there and that's going to kick him in the ass. Like, you can bring somebody in there, but now if he's going to be the centerpiece of a trade, another team's going to see that. Like, you put Ben Simmons and Carmelo in Portland?
I think Carmelo's a free agent.
You're right.
I'm not getting into Carmelo at this point. But if Portland trades Dame, they're not re-signing Carmelo Anthony. In any case, I kind of think, like, you know, I think Philly as the Simmons package is very interesting. Like, but again, and I think, yeah, the Wiseman 2 lottery picks this year package from Golden State is also very compelling. It depends entirely on where Lillard wants to go, and I'm sure various Scoopmeisters will make that information known to us on an hourly basis from now until this trade is completed.
We really need something like bracketology, where like bracket matrix, where basically they're graded on the accuracy of said scoop.
Like, you can always count on Stein and Woj and Shams to put out information that is going to be, the vast majority of the time, accurate. If a guy has not broken news about that team before, you can probably cross them off their list, regardless of whether or not they have a blue check on Twitter. Then you can ignore it. The rest, like everyone else from like the three guys I mentioned, you can probably take it with a grain of salt. Like, don't worry about what Chris Broussard tweets. You can like slightly side eye Rick Bucher for a while now. Like, just it's all fun. Enjoy the fake scoops. They're awesome. I love them all. I really do. I'm not being a trollish. I love all the nonsense and stuff like this.
Changing gears a little bit. So it looks like Maria Taylor is exiting from ESPN. You get the report from Awful announcing that it's at the half-yard line of her joining NBC. And NBC beefing up its NFL Thursday night coverage, which I think is super interesting. That might include Maria Taylor, Al Michaels, and Peyton Manning, who is still sitting out there in the wings. And like, this is a kind of half
commitment.
Are they finally
pulling the trigger on Peyton?
I think the Amazon Brinks truck, I think, is getting too big for him to keep saying no. Where it's like his family's like,
you're a Tennessee man.
Yes.
You can probably, and a college football knower, you mm-hmm. can help me out here. Where did the idea that Peyton Manning would be good at this come from?
Saturday Night Live.
That's it?
He's just funny. Like, Peyton is... Like in
the man can break down a game like nobody's business too.
He can break down the game.
Has
like
he done that before though?
I mean, he does his Peyton's Places show where he does that on ESPN Plus. But like, it's more that he is just he's comfortable in front of a camera, and I think he'll be closer to Chris Collinsworth than anything. Like, that's who I would probably say is the most likely comp for him in the booth. But like. Collinsworth's great. Like, I think Peyton and Michaels would actually be really good together. But he's just fun. He's just comfortable in front of a camera, excuse me. Like, he's just someone that will be good. And I think if you do like a triumvirate of Michaels, Peyton, and Maria Taylor, that is a trio. That is a star-studded Thursday night trio, and suddenly like Thursday night's pushing Sunday night, because I'm a Thursday night fan. Like, people I know are nervous, like, don't love it.
Yeah,
Monday Night Football stinks, but Thursday night,
nobody is. What percentage of viewers do you think are going to be tuning in? I mean, look, people will tune in to hear Peyton Manning the first couple of times he's in the booth, but following that, do you really, like, as good as Tony Romo is as a color guy, nobody is watching an NFL game because of Tony Romo.
No, but I think it helps. Like, I think it just helps that they have guys that aren't.
It also helps the matchups too.
Yes,
because there are some that, because. Well, I'm not defending. I will say this: the Monday Night Football slate that they had this past year was probably one of the best that they've had in a while in terms of, one, competitive games, two, watchable players. Like, yeah, even though you maybe didn't want to hear the commentary, you would watch the game still. And the commentary enhanced that, because there are some guys. I like Joe Buck. I think the pairing with him and Troy Aikman, it's one of those things where it's way too comfortable now. And so it's just kind of like, okay, I know what I'm getting. And so you know, it's just going to be, you know, Joe Buck, deadpan, you know, blah, 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 whatever. So it's like, okay, I can deal with that. There are some others where I'm just like, you know what? I'm okay. And I'm interested in Peyton Manning breaking down the game with Al Michaels, who probably on his way out the door, and
yeah,
Maria Taylor as
right?
either sideline.
Isn't Tirico just the guy in waiting there?
Well, yeah, Tirico's doing Notre Dame football right now. So what I'm interested in, though, is what they're going to do if Liam McCune is going to go to TNT for NHL. Mm. Because if Tirico goes to Sunday Night Football, which I think we all expect, what's that going to mean for Notre Dame? Does Liam McHugh basically come back? Do you keep him around? So
you elevate Jack Collinsworth.
Okay, on that note, I can't stand Jack Collinsworth. It's
another
just like
Collinsworth?
Yeah, there's another Collinsworth.
It's like,
he does.
Let
like,
me get a sandy brown hair Chris Collinsworth clone. Like,
yeah,
that's
I
all
think
it
you're,
is.
I think that's one of the Ducey family's offspring, or maybe like Andrew Giuliani. Kids should do different things than their dad. That's my take.
Last major topic, and then I have some mailbag questions I want to ask you guys real quick. Last thing, it's kind of heavy, so I apologize, but it feels like a couple days ago, but the Stephen A. Smith Shohei Ohtani comments. Andrew, what did you make of them, and what did you make of his apology?
Terrible apology.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen A. Smith, he is one of these guys that you can put in front of a camera and let him say anything, which it's great. Here's the bad thing. There's a lot of things that he clearly does not research, does not work on. And that's an issue with that's a sports media issue in general. But yeah, no, Stephen A. Smith.
Well, when you have Will Cain coming on defending you, you know, you probably did a whoopsie.
Will Cain, the guy who basically got roasted on his last day and not in a joking fashion at ESPN. No, it was like, dude, you trash. Like, go. Like, we don't need you.
Mm. It was just one of those things where it's. I think about this a lot of just, and I talk to my friends and family about this, where sometimes I'll just like raise an eyebrow because I'm like, why do you have a strong opinion on that? Like, I don't have an opinion on all sorts of things. Like, if I don't feel confident enough that like I've researched it enough, read about it enough, like I don't really broadcast like this strong take. And like him, I just don't think he watches Ohtani. I don't think Stephen A. Smith spends a lot of time with Angels baseball. I don't think Stephen A. Smith watches a lot of baseball, especially with the NBA finals going on. And he has this strong of a take of like, this is bad for baseball. And like, I don't think he cares about the health of baseball. I don't think he's looked into why this would be a problem. Like, it was one of those things where it's like, clearly this was not a well thought out thing. And ESPN producers like did not think, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this and go down this road. But like, I don't even know where the line of thinking comes in of just like when baseball, like him being a Mark, like I think Ohtani is a gigantic boon. Like it was one of those where if you ask people, I have friends asking me about him, and like it's not about what they say off mic. Like it's never been about that. It's not, you don't have to be like a WWE promo guy to be marketable in professional sports. You just have to be tantalizing. You have to be interesting to watch. And guess what? Shohei Ohtani is the most interesting baseball player to watch. Like it doesn't matter that he's boring, like, or he doesn't speak English, is not his primary language. That doesn't matter. Acuna needing a translator has not once affected how Braves fans feel about
Rondon. Ichiro needed a translator, and you want to know what? It was fine.
And it was hotter than a fucking wool sock for Ichiro in Kansas City.
And Ichiro,
still the best interview of all time.
And you know what? You know what the great thing about Ichiro is? Mm. He used the translator sometimes and was just like, I just don't want to talk to the media. So the translator would just talk. Like, he could talk, because if you read the stories about Ichiro, like young Ichiro in Seattle, Ken Griffey Jr. and all these guys would like teach him how to talk trash. And that is hilarious.
Yeah. It was just bad luck all around. It's stupid. And it's just one of those reasons of like, oh, this is why you should not watch this stuff during the day. Like, it's just bad for people, and it's just bad for the brains, and it's just...
I think it's, you know, ever since ESPN started getting roasted for its quote-unquote political ideology, which has always been kind of laughable to me, they have made a very conscious point, say, for, like, the bubble... when they were just interviewing players and hearing what they had to say, like of trying to give the appearance that they weren't taking any kind of partisan side. And what's filled the void since then, especially since they've had all these high profile departures, is just the entire network has become Stephen A. Smith, where it was really amazing to watch his comment, which was silly and xenophobic and wrong, get turned into an entire day of like ESPN commentary about Stephen A. Smith's comment. Even like the well-meaning stuff where like Jeff Passan was reciting lines as if, you know, Sorkin had written them on the West Wing.
Well,
like they brought, you know, look, they brought Toon Lee on, and what Toon Lee said was absolutely true and great, and I thought he handled it wonderfully. But like suddenly there's an entire ESPN's programming gets metaphysical and becomes about ESPN, and that's what they do. I mean, so, this has been the case for a decade now. We saw there was a story on Deadspin about how one random bit of like Ron Jaworski speculation about Tim Tebow got rung through the entire ESPN content machine and turned into far more programming, and that too was based on absolutely almost nothing. But you know, that's what they do, and it's just, it is so much more. The thing about that bugs me the most about ESPN, it's not just like Stephen A. said something that I disagree with, and a lot of people did, or other people agreed. It becomes like watching cable news, and I hate watching cable news. And so I just think I swear to God, there has to be a better way to do it.
Well, I'll say this really, really quick. Where was this outrage publicly when Rachel Nichols is basically saying, yeah, Maria Taylor shouldn't be taking my job, when it's like, hey, Rachel, you can't sit here and say what you said. And a lot of ESPN employees were radio silent about it.
It's, I think, you know, look, ESPN, from the very little bit of reporting that I've done on it, and it's almost none, I've written like one or two stories about them. It's a tough place to get sources because there are, in an organization that size, there are structures put in place to keep people from speaking out publicly. If you want to know why no one said anything about Rachel Nichols for over a year, I think you have to look more
been,
at like
Deadspin effed that up, by the way.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah, they couldn't even figure out how to take the L. They kept writing columns about how, no, actually, we were right to absolutely duff that story. That was freaking hilarious.
So I was having this conversation with somebody, and I said they had literally the sports media story of the entire year right there, and they did nothing. They like, I'm still blown away.
They couldn't get anyone at ESPN to talk, which, again, I'm going to cite the comment I made 10 seconds ago, is very hard to do. I'm not saying it's not difficult. I'm saying they had this snippet, and instead of, say, taking, I don't know, whoever knows how long to report it out, instead they just printed the, they got it wrong and acted smug and righteous about how wrong they were in the moment. Like, it's, and like, who knows what, you know what? That story might have come out a lot sooner if, like, it hadn't landed, like, which, you know, that story coming out when it did, and granted, very few people noticed it, but it gave ESPN a whole year to, quote-unquote, handle things internally. And, like, it's such a colossal screw-up, and people working there keep talking. I don't understand that. Just take the L. Go away. Everyone's attention span is like a hummingbird that has a particularly short attention span. No one will remember in a week if you didn't keep telling us how actually you were right to step on every single rake. It was just glorious, amazing. I love it.
To wrap up here today, I have an off-topic mailbag question for each of you guys. Are you ready?
No.
Yeah, let's do this. Who is it from?
Irrelevant. So.
Oh, what?
We're gonna, it's anonymous. Andrew, for you.
Yeah.
Are we sure camping is good?
Camping's fine.
Camping's what?
Camping's fine. I mean, I've been a few times. It's fine. I would say know where you're camping, mm-hmm. because there are some places in the United States that are now training grounds for white supremacists. So, yeah. and we say this jokingly, but like you look at Oregon, parts of Washington, my state of Michigan, you should probably be aware of your surroundings and enjoy the outdoors. I say this jokingly, but yeah.
In conclusion, from Andrew, Bill Simmons bad. Camping is a gateway drug to white nationalism. That's what
probably. Huh? You never know. Or is Bill Simmons a gateway to white nationalism?
He gave us Barstool.
I don't think he gave us Barstool.
No, you're retconning history. No. We can get into the origin of Barstool later and how and why it thrived, but I don't think you can put that at Simo's feet. Nor Cousin Sal, nor nephew, you know.
I won't say that it gave way to Barstool, but it's very heavily influenced on Deadspin and Page Two.
No.
Oh, come on, Robert.
No, you're giving him retroactively way too much credit. This is no. Look. Anytime a guy says look before he talks, you know he's really gotten some high judging going.
You're gonna have to defend Barstool also probably like hurts.
Look, Bill Simmons did give latitude to a wider range of sports commentary that could exist and could be paid for. And for that, you know, he deserves a great deal of credit, and in all kinds of ways he should be criticized. Whatever, but I think it's way too, this is butterfly flapping its wings in Indonesia stuff. If you think because of that, therefore Barstool exists. It's not technically wrong, but I think there are a few more, like like pick any garbage early 2000s internet website and like forum thread. I was not active online then, but
Jeeves.
Right. Or the Chive and stuff like that. They are far more direct at this point for that kind of.
I forgot about the Chive. That is a word I have not heard in a long, long time.
They call them Chive on, Clay. And or even In It Cool News, if you want to like blame, you know, or something awful, those are the forums that gave rise to Barstool. Or Tucker Max. That's a far more direct progenitor. All you kids out there.
Max. Oh, God, I feel so old.
That was freaking 15 years ago, man.
Just give Bob his question.
Okay.
Yeah, what's my question?
We'll wrap up here. Bob, what is the best side dish for a meal? What is the best? What is the ultimate side dish for you?
Are there any strictures about what kind of meal?
Let's go with dinner.
Dinner. Okay. I assume we're talking about, you know, a meat-based kind of dish.
A traditional, meat-based entree.
Some kind of mice. We're not limiting ourselves to any one particular nationality or country.
We are not. Ethnic.
We are not. You know what I'm going to go? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw out a wild card here. You ready?
Uh-huh.
It's rice.
Oh, wow.
One, filling. Two, can absorb the flavors of many different kinds of sauces and spices and ingredients in the rest of the dish. It's textureful. It's flavorful. It can be prepared in many different ways. You can do it in a Cajun style. You can do it in a red. You can do it in a any kind of Asian sort of fried rices. You can do it in any kind of jambalaya. There are an infinite number of different things you can do with rice, and all of them are tasty and filling. Rice. My answer is rice.
Find somebody
as
that
he
loves.
Slams down the table.
He did. Find somebody that
I
loves
did.
His rice cooker as much as Bob does.
I banged a gavel. Actually, my significant other gets very mad at me at this. There are ways to cook rice in a microwave that are very easy and convenient and will produce delightful fluffy rice without chilling out $50 for an expensive piece of kitchen equipment that you only use, a handful of times. Mm. Little life hack there from your pal Bob.
Andrew, do you agree with that? Do you agree with the rice being number one?
Rice is a good. I like a nice salad.
Well, you're a cooking guy. Like you put together some really
make
good pastas. I've seen your.
You don't make
picks.
Friends with salad.
Yeah, rice. Depending on, I like a nice, brown rice or like people like quinoa. I don't like quinoa. Give me rice.
No, quinoa is too. Too much texture. I don't.
Yeah, I can basically eat anything, but quinoa is just way too. It's a little overpowering. So not.
If you have rice and stock, you can make risotto. It's delicious.
yes. I love
rice.
A nice risotto.
Yeah, it's to really do it the right way. It seems simple. It is actually incredibly difficult, and requires. Just hours of standing in front of a stove to coax out that kind of creaminess. Not easy to do at all, but absolutely worth it every single time.
There you go. All right. Well, that's all we've got today on this weekend edition of the Sports Reporters Assembling. Andrew Hammond, we can follow you at Aham Free Press. We can follow Bob at Bob Saeta. Go do that.
Fully verified on Twitter, Bob
Saeta. A fully verified...
Yeah, got my little blue check. Take that, Thomas Chatterton Williams.
Well, this is the blue check brigade now. All three of us fair.
Yeah. I know. Now we can be hated by random people for no good reason whatsoever.
Yes.
Oh, dude, I get that.
Most good reasons. Awesome. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Guys, thank you so much. And email us at chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions you would like the three of us to answer every single Saturday. These go up Saturday. We record on Fridays. But yes, thank you as always, guys. We will be back next week.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a hacer tus nuevas amigas.
We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.